From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. Let's start from the national news. Indonesia has registered more than 600,000 COVID-19 infection, more than 500,000 recoveries, and more than 18,000 deaths. According to the Task Force for COVID-19 Handling, Indonesia added more than 4,000 recoveries and more than 6,000 fresh cases and 142 deaths in the 24 hours ending Saturday. The task force also recorded more than 62,000 suspected COVID-19 cases. Meanwhile, the number of specimens examined by laboratories per day reached more than 50,000. This indicates Indonesia laboratory testing capacity is expanding. State Enterprises BUMN Minister, concurrently Chief Executive of the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and Economic Recovery KPC PEN, Erick Thohir, affirmed that the Ministry of BUMN is targeting to supply non-subsidized vaccine to 75 million people. Thohir noted during an online seminar on Saturday that BUMN Minister revealed that Indonesia will wait for another 1.8 million doses of the vaccine in the next stage of vaccine shipment in January 2021, and an additional 15 million of raw materials to be utilized to produce vaccine by Bio Farma also in January 2021. As reported by Antara, Thohir projects a government-assisted vaccine and non-subsidized vaccine to be available in January 2021, adding that the Ministry of Health will be the deciding authority on the amount of each vaccine. The government seeks to accelerate the development of communication and information technology from upstream to downstream to optimize the economy of the marine sector. Minister of Communication and Information, Johnny J. Plate, through a written statement in Jakarta on Saturday, said the acceleration of marine economic growth will be carried out through the availability of an internet network in all rural and urban areas in Indonesia no later than the end of 2022. This development will be accelerated by 10 years. According to Plate, previously the development roadmap for 4G signal provision was targeted for completion in 2032. However, the COVID-19 pandemic situation prompted President Joko Widodo to target the acceleration of internet network development throughout the region with a joint financing scheme between the government and the private sector, in this case cellular operators. Let's move on to the international news. Four Royal Navy patrol ships will be ready on January 1st to help protect Britain's fishing waters in the event the Brexit transition period ends without a deal on future ties with the European Union. There are concerns about possible skirmishes between British and foreign fishing vessels if no trade deal is reached. With existing transitional rules that give European Union boats access to British waters set to expire at the end of the year, the Minister of Defense said that his party has conducted extensive planning and preparation to ensure that defense is ready for a range of scenarios at the end of the transition period. The 80-meter-long Navy vessels will have the power to stop, check, and impound all European Union fishing boats operating within Britain's exclusive economic zone, which can extend 200 miles from shore. World leaders should declare states of climate emergency to spur faster cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. This was stated by UN Chief Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Saturday at a summit marking the fifth anniversary of the Paris Climate Accord. Dozens of world leaders addressed the one-day virtual gathering aimed at building momentum for more ambitious national commitments ahead of pivotal round of climate talks that take place in Glasgow in late 2021. Guterres said economic recovery packages launched in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic should represent an opportunity to accelerate the transition to a low-carbon future, but said this was not happening fast enough. According to him, the members of the G20 so far are spending 50% more in their stimulus and rescue packages on sector linked to fossil fuel production and consumption than on low-carbon energy. Israel established diplomatic relations on Sunday with Bhutan, a major Buddhist nation neighboring India. The agreement follows several years of secret contacts between Israel and Bhutan with the aim of establishing relations. This was stated by Israeli Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi. A signing ceremony was held between the Israeli and Bhutanese ambassador to India on Saturday. The countries agreed to formulate a joint work plan in the areas of water management, agriculture, healthcare, and other areas. Chile is getting ready to start an immunization campaign with Pfizer Incorporation vaccine against the coronavirus if it wins approval. Health Minister Enrique Paris said on Saturday that next week, the State Institute of Public Health will review data on the performance of the vaccine, which is also expected to be used in the United States. Chilean authorities will make an official decision based on the review of that data. He encouraged people to keep wearing masks and practice social distancing, considering that it will not be possible to complete the immunization campaign by the end of the first half of 2021. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. many as 1.2 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine arrived in Indonesia on Sunday, December 6, from China. The vaccine made by Sinovac has been clinically tested in Bandung since last August. The vaccine produced by the Sinovac company is part of the first stage procurement of 3 million doses of the SARS-CoV-2 type vaccine from China. President Joko Widodo, in his speech broadcast virtually at the Bogor Presidential Palace West Java, said on Sunday evening that the government is also working on so that by the beginning of January 2021, another 1.8 million doses of vaccine can be imported. In addition, there will be 45 million doses of vaccine in the form of bulk raw materials, which will be further processed by Indonesia's Bio Farma. According to the president, even though the vaccine has arrived, to start vaccination, it still takes steps that must be passed by the Food and Drug Supervisory Agency, BPOM.
Dan perlu saya tegaskan, pertama, seluruh prosedur harus dilalui dengan baik dalam rangka menjamin.
And I need to emphasize first, all procedures must be followed properly in order to ensure public health and safety as well as vaccine effectiveness. Scientific consideration, the result of this clinical trial will be determined when vaccination can be started. The two vaccine distribution systems to the region are very important, as well as supporting equipment, human resources, and vaccination management. We know that it has been prepared since a few months ago through simulation in several provinces, and I am sure that after it has been decided that vaccination starts, everything is ready. The president added that Indonesia's geographic condition, which is so large and wide-ranging, makes it impossible for the government to do vaccination simultaneously. Therefore, he reminded the public to prioritize health protocols, namely wearing masks, maintaining distance, and washing hands. The newly arrived COVID-19 vaccine was immediately taken to the Bio Farma head office in Bandung, West Java. There will be sampling for quality testing by a team from the Food and Drug Administration, BPOM, and Bio Farma. Head of BPOM, Penny Lukito, said BPOM would issue an emergency use of authorization EUA for the COVID-19 vaccine after evaluating the clinical trials that were carried out. He ensured that the EUA published by BPOM referred to international standards. Evaluation of completed clinical trials is not only carried out by BPOM, but also by the National Committee for Drug Evaluation, an expert in the field of vaccine. In addition, the BPOM, together with the Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI, PT Bio Farma, and the Ministry of Health, have conducted direct inspections to China. The point is to ensure the halal vaccine that will be given to the public. That was highlight of the week. Today's edition of Today in History, we will begin from the first event that happens on December 13, 1957, the Juanda Declarations Accord. The Juanda Declaration was decided on December 13, 1957 by the Indonesian Prime Minister at that time, Juanda Kartawijaya. This is a declaration which states to the world that the Indonesian Sea includes the sea around, between, and within the Indonesian archipelago into one Indonesian territory. The Juanda Declaration states that Indonesia adheres to the principles of an archipelago state so that the inter-island seas are Indonesian territories and not free zones. Through the Presidential's Decree No. 126 of 2001, it was confirmed as the Archipelago Day. This means that every December 13, 2001, it is commemorated as one of the national days. Let's move on to 1996, where Kofi Annan was elected Secretary General of the United Nations. Anand is a Ghanaian diplomat who served as the United Nations 7th Secretary General from January 1997 to December 2006. Anand and the United Nations are recipients of the 2001 Nobel Peace Prize. He is the founder and chairman of the Kofi Annan Foundation and chair of the Elders, an international organization founded by Nelson Mandela. On December 13, 1996, Annan was elected by the UN Security Council as Secretary General and was confirmed 4 days later by vote in the General Assembly. Annan replaced Secretary General Boutros Boutros-Ghali from Egypt, who ended his term. He became the first person from a black African country to serve as UN Secretary General. Last event is that in 2003, Saddam Hussein was arrested. Saddam Hussein was Iraqi president in the period of July 16, 1979 until April 9, 2003. Saddam Hussein was overthrown in the invasion of Iraq in 2003, which was led by the United States of America and arrested by U.S. forces on December 13, 2003. On November 5, 2006, Chief Judge Rauf Rashid Abdul Rahman sentenced him to death for his crimes to humanity. On December 30, 2006, Saddam was executed at the age of 69 years old. That was Today in History.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Kalab Abbas in Pakistan. Mr. Kalab Abbas is a regular listener of VOI via live audio video streaming. Hello, Mr. Kalab Abbas. Thank you for being one of VOI listeners. I also thank you for your praying and hope all of us to be fine and safe from COVID-19. Special for you, I will play a beautiful song. Here is the song.
Kesungguhan hatimu itu saja. itu saja.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian sports management company MP1 signed a multi-year contract with Dorna Sport to present the MotoGP Sport Indonesian Series competition in 2021. The championship is designed as a stepping stone for gamers to the Win3 Rising Stars Series, an initiative introduced by Dorna in 2020 to discover and nurture new esport talent around the world. In addition, the MotoGP Esport Indonesian Series will give gamers the opportunity to compete in the MotoGP Esport Global Series next year. The MotoGP Esport Championship began in 2017 and has proven to be a successful project, as well as an important part of the Dorna Sports portfolio as the commercial rights holder of MotoGP. MP1 Commercial and Creative Managing Director Marisa Komala, in a press statement as reported by Antaranus Agency, said that since its inception for 4 years ago, the MotoGP eSport competition has grown to 23 online challenges, 2 pro drafts, and 7 activities in location that are broadcast live. And in 2020, it has attracting over 60 million viewers. In fact, the face of sports and the way many people participate in sport activities, especially MotoGP, have changed. On the other hand, this year's situation has greatly accelerated the development of eSport. She emphasized, as part of a strategy to develop motorsport in Indonesia, and in particular to target young talents, it has established a long-term cooperation with Dorna to exclusively host the Indonesian MotoGP eSport Series. According to Marisa, MP1 has also shown its commitment to working on the huge MotoGP markets in Indonesia, and early last month launched a partnership with Gresini Racing to present the Indonesian racing brand in 4 classes, namely MotoGP, Moto2, Moto3, and MotoE, starting next year. Meanwhile, Managing Director of Dorna Sports, Paul Seracanta, reiterated Dorna's commitment to eSport in MotoGP, which continues to grow. First through the Global Series, then with the Win3 Rising Star Series. And the next step is to create a national MotoGP eSport series in a country where MotoGP racing will take place in the near future, and where their MotoGP fan community is one of the largest in the world. According to Seracanta, this agreement and MP1's investment in sport guarantees the success of the first ever national MotoGP eSport competition, the MotoGP eSport Indonesian Series.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener, Amir Jamil in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Amir Jamil. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. I look forward to your criticism for the development and progress of our broadcast. Thank you. As appreciation, I will play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Kau takut ku mencintaimu, yang ku nantikan selama ini.
RRI was office voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Gorontalo has the legendary traditional dish, namely labulo. This dish, which is made from sago flour, is not only a favorite food of the kings of Gorontalo, but also as a favorite menu for breaking the fast. Labulo is a food made from sago flour which is added with various contents such as eggs, chicken, beef or gizzard, which are the given special spices. The cooking process of this food is by wrapping it in banana leaves and boiling it. But for those who prefer the taste of grilled food, you can burn it according to your taste. Therefore, it is not surprising if this food is always hunted by tourists and local residents, especially during the month of Ramadan. Labulo can be eaten immediately because it is cooked after the boiling process. But some people can also process it again by burning or frying it. Labulo is perfect when enjoyed with grits. Grits, known in Gorontalo as binte piluhuta, contains vegetables, skipjack tuna, shrimp, sweet corn, tomatoes, and basil. Labulo, which has a chewy texture with a slightly spicy taste, costs around 5,000 rupiah to 7,500 rupiah per serving. This can also be used as a souvenir because it can last for about 3 days even if you do not put it in the refrigerator. Therefore, if you visit Gorontalo, you can try labulo, one of the typical Gorontalo cuisine.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite, COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Welcome to getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
From Indonesia.
Now we'll reply another email from our listener, Fiona Rahman in Bangladesh. Hello, Mr. Fiona Rahman. Thank you for your time to send email to our broadcast. I hope you have a great day. As appreciation, we'll play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jamu is a traditional Indonesian drink which is believed to have various health benefits from generation to generation. Jamu is made from various spices. However, the traditional herbal drink has not been in great demand by millennials. academic and lecturers of the Departments of Anthropology, Faculty of Social and Political Science, Erlangga University, Surabaya, Pinky Saptandari said that modern modification need to be made so that herbal medicine is attractive to the millennial generation. Current modification to herbal medicine can be done by developing new recipes, but still maintaining the properties or substance. This was expressed by Pinky in the Spice Path Masterclass event of the Ministry of Education and Culture with the team Connect Sense World Spice Master 2020 recently in Jakarta. According to Pinky, new recipes might release through a competition to create new creations of spices or herbal drinks. In fact, if the new recipe is recognized, the drink can be used as a national drink served to state guests. This will certainly build an attractive, tasty, and healthy image in herbal medicine. It is possible this will also be an attraction for cafes to serve herbal medicine with attractive appearance and packaging. Meanwhile, the CEO of PT Sue Ora Jamu, Amerta Nova Dewi Setiabudi, said that one of the most important focuses of her company in making herbal medicine is taste. She wants to provide a taste that can be enjoyed by young children, so that they can eliminate the impression that herbal medicine is bitter, a drink for old people and not delicious. In fact, herbal medicine is actually a health drink that can help maintain health, fitness, and beauty. Amerta Nova said she didn't want to force millennials to drink herbal medicine, but she wanted them to enjoy it.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz on www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Listener's Mailbag.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, today I will present you a song by vocal group Lima Romeo, or in English, Five Romeo. This group was formed because it was inspired by the famous Italian vocal group Il Divo. Its members are sought after through auditions in several cities in Indonesia. As the name suggests, Five Romeo's members consist of five people, namely Pungki, Adira, Patudu, Gusti, and Rizky. Their first single is Semenjak Ada Dirimu. The song, which was released in 2012, is a song that has Korean nuances because when the vocal group created by Yovi Widianto was formed, many Indonesian music was influenced by Korean-style music known as Korean pop or K-pop. Semenjak Ada Dirimu was previously popularized in 2007 by Anditi. The version of Five Romeo takes remix and K-pop music that sounds more fresh and modern. Uniquely, one verse of Five Romeo's version song lyrics was changed to Korean, namely in the chorus. The song tells about a crush who finally comes into his life. Since she was there, he was finally able to forget his former lover and his days became fun. Well, listener, here is the song Semenjak Ada Dirimu by Five Romeo.
Semuanya berubah saat kau memandangku. Bergetar hati ini, kau berikan harapan tentang warna-warni hariku. Semenjak kau ada di sini, ku mampu melupakannya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Berpisah denganmu telah membuatku semakin mengerti betapa indah saat bersama yang masih selalu ku kenang. Selamat jalan kekasih, kaulah cinta dalam hidupku. Aku kehilanganmu untuk selama-lamanya. Cukup sekali kau lukai hati ini, tak ingin terulang kembali.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.